It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Go to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them.
God has before ordained, means what? Before the foundation of the world, we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And God wanted mankind to do good things. But from the Genesis until Jesus Christ came, nobody did good things. So the Book of Isaiah says, your good works is filthy rag in the sight of God. But if you are in Christ Jesus, that's why God has created us in Christ Jesus, so you can do good works. So then when you are in Christ, you don't have to have problem to do good things, because that becomes our nature. Because Jesus Christ dwells in us, so we cannot do anything wrong. And some people said, I'm Christian, why cannot I do these things? They are not yielding their spirit to God. They are not living according to the word of God. Read that book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, what he's trying to say, if you are in Christ, you have no condemnation, no judgment, you are not going to go to hell. But if you are in Christ, then you are going to walk according to the spiritual law. What the Spirit is telling you. When you abide by the Spirit of God, then you are going to fulfill the spiritual law. We cannot say, I'm a born again and do the carnal things. If you are born again, then the Spirit will lead you to do the right things. If you walk according to the Spirit of God, then we'll call the children of God. If you have the Spirit of God, then we will walk according to the Spirit of God. We cannot say, I have a Spirit of God, I'm born again, and I smoke, and I drink, and I do these things. You cannot do that thing. In one glass, clean glass, you cannot keep a dirty things and say, this is a clean water. So clean glass will have clean water. If you put something else, it's not a clean water anymore. So the Word of God says, 1 Peter 2:2, okay.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby.
See, a newborn babe, means born again child of God, supposed to find the church where the full gospel is preached. People go to convention, in different kinds of group, and they go for convention, they get saved, they fill with the Holy Spirit, and they dance, they be happy, and when they come back, they go to their original churches, and spiritually they die, because they are not getting pure milk. So when you are born again child of God, you should have a desire for the pure Word of God, then you spiritually grow. And so when I tell people on the radio or anywhere I'm preaching, I said, now you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, find a church where the pure gospel or the full gospel is preached. There are all kinds of churches. You have to tell person, now you're born again, go to church where the full gospel is preached. If I'm going to wrong church, how can I tell somebody to go to right church? So we cannot go and sit somewhere and take the garbage and then be a spiritual. It will not happen, because they are going to teach the wrong teaching, the wrong doctrine. Today or tomorrow will catch up with you. And so we have to learn the pure Word of God. Okay, let's go back to the book of Mark, verse 34.
And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David?
Now, when these people asked the question, and Jesus Christ said, okay, you people gave a good answer. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Now let me ask you some questions. They asked him up to now. Now he's asking them a questions. He's trying to say that David himself said by the Holy Ghost, Lord said unto my Lord. So he's trying to say,
for David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts.
He asked them a question. They did not give him an answer, but he was trying to say what David was talking about himself, or he was talking about the Lord. And they are reading and they are not understanding. Go to the Psalm 110 verse 1.
The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Now they are reading this and they are not understanding if the David saying about himself or David saying about somebody else. So he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand because Jesus Christ is the only one came into this world, destroy the enemy, the devil, and he is a conqueror. And he is going to come as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They didn't understand what the Jesus Christ is trying to tell these disciples now. Let me warn you, these Pharisees and these scribes, they are thinking, they are lawyers, they are very learned in the scriptures, but they are misleading you. And they are not giving you the right teaching. So beware of them. Let's go back to the book of Mark chapter 12 and start reading from verse 40.
Which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury.
But here he says about these Pharisees, what kind of dresses? They want long dresses. They want salute from the other people. They are always money hungry and they take the widows' houses and they will have greater punishment. Today also people are doing that. Now most of the people, Christian people also say, okay, why don't you write a will? Before they die, they tell the people, make a will to church. Sound good. But why we have to go after them? Let them make their own will and give it to church. Church should not be going after their money and telling them they might be wanted to do something else with their money. But people are going to say, okay, write a will and give $10,000 to the certain charity and they will give you some high interest. And people think, okay, I'll do it. Now, when you give $10,000 to some charity and you are 95 years old, and they start giving you $500 a month, you will be dying before they can give you rest of the money. But this is just a trick to get your money. Same with these houses. They said, when you are old, why are you giving your house to your children and your relatives? Get the reverse mortgage. And when you do that, you actually lose the money. You don't lose the house, you will be having house. But once you make a mistake, until you die, they cannot take your house. Now, there's one person in Ohio, he said he had the single house and he got that kind of mortgage. And so he said, I'm going to sell it. I said, please don't sell it. Leave until you die. They are not going to kick you. But if you sell that house and go and rent somewhere else, you will lose whatever you have. This is like a ripoff. So he is saying these Pharisees, they are trying to say they are doing something good to these widows, but actually they are taking their houses, they are taking their property and trying to destroy them. Now this is another subject. Let's read verse 41.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Jesus and his disciples sitting there, Jesus is watching, and the people be giving thousands of dollars. Here the widow gives 2 mite. And so he said, she gave more than anybody else. The disciples might be thinking, she gave only 2 mites. How can somebody give 1,000, 10,000? And you saying she gave more? He said, let me tell you, that much she had. She had only 2 penny, and she gave two penny. How much she gave? Whatever she had, she gave. Other person had 10,000. Out of 10,000, he gave $10. It's not even 10%, not even 5%. So they did not give according to the word of God. This lady had only 2 pennies. When my father was young, within 1 penny, you can buy 10 items. And so 2 pennies were worth too much that time. And 2,000 years ago, can you imagine that 2 penny will have how much value? But she put it, not like a worthless penny. I see sometimes people put in the church offering. They will put the dollar bill nobody takes, very crumble or something like that, or penny who is completely dark or coins or something like that on. Or sometimes they will put only Canada coin or some other coin just to put something. Jesus Christ gave an example. He says, you know, when you giving to your governor, can you give him a fable cow or fable goat, a gift? No. Then you give it to God the best. The word of God says, you give from your heart. And then this lady gave everything what she had. And I was thinking, many people will not agree with me, but I was thinking, this lady, I don't know why she gave. She could keep that and use it. Here her son might be dying. And so she said, I cannot do anything with this 2 penny. Anyhow, I'm going to give it to the Lord. God can raise my son, or God can heal my son. If that faith she did it, the word of God says, the widow's son was dead, and Jesus went to that village. She did not call. But when they were taking this widow's son, he stopped them and he raised that son and gave it to her. Anything you give it to God, he gives you 100-fold in return. Now if son was not old, he says the young man. Now this young man can get a job and make more money than 2 pennies. Even though before you give, he would know what you're thinking and how much you're giving. So the word of God says she gave all of her living. I was just thinking, and she had that much courage to give it all. I believe God raised that widow's son. Even they didn't say that 2 penny that lady gave her son, but I believe in my heart that is the widow's son Jesus raised. Whatever we give to the Lord is not going in vain. He will give us everything what we need. Sometimes some people say, oh, this is all I have, and I'm going to hold on to this. And some people, even they die with the things they have it in their hand, and it will not do any good. If you have a little bit, something, even the seed, and you hold it, that seed, and don't sow it, you will not have any harvest. But if you have apple seed or mango seed, you plant it, it takes a long time. But once they start coming, you have the harvest. Book of Mark, chapter 13. Starting from verse 1.
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Okay, now here we see, they ask the question, look at this beautiful building. One time, when Jesus Christ said, let's go to the Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. He says, greater than temple is here. So this time he didn't say this, but these people were thinking great about the temple and the temple building.
But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
This place means he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, instead of saying, I'm greater than the temple, he says, someone is here, is greater than the temple. Verse 42. Matthew 12, verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Now Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon and greater than the temple. And so this time he did not say, why are you looking at the temple? I am greater than the temple. But he answered them, you seeing all these stones very fitly together, but the day is coming, and each and every stone will be taken off, and there won't be any stone on the top of each other. They will all be thrown down. Mark chapter 13, verse 3.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them.
Now here they ask a simple question. It was not an easy answer, and they would not know what he is trying to say. In this chapter, there are several subjects are coming. He did not say exactly the date or exactly the month or when this temple will be destroyed. But I learned this temple was destroyed. What Jesus Christ is trying to tell these people, he was not just telling when the temple will be destroyed, he was telling when he will be coming back. So he was saying, those days somebody will, Christ is here, Christ is there, so don't follow. When they take you to the synagogue or the council, don't be afraid. Don't think what you're going to say. Don't even practice what you're going to say. But the Holy Spirit will give you the right answer for the testimony against those people. And so this thing happened right away when Jesus Christ died and rose again and went to heaven, and the disciples start preaching. Peter was put in a jail several times, and James was killed, and many disciples were scattered. And so this thing did happen. They took him to the synagogue, they took him to the council, they told him to not to preach the gospel, but they kept on doing it. They were thinking at that particular time, as Christ said, it can happen any time. They did not know what the real time is. And so that was a very good message Jesus Christ gave without giving the dates or time. And so verse 10, he says, the gospel must first be preached. Please read. Verse 10.
And the gospel must first be published among all nations.
When you say first preach, must be preached, or publish, that means preaching or printing or any form, gospel should be preached before Jesus Christ comes. So those people really, really start thinking, we have to hasten of Jesus Christ coming. So they kept on preaching and they kept on going to different places. And we see in the book of Acts, first of all, even the Jesus Christ told them, according to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But they were still not going anywhere. Then something happened. The Saul started killing Christians and destroying Christians and pulling out of their houses and killing, and then he took the permission to go to Damascus. There were some Christians there to kill them and put them in a jail. That's the time Philip went to Samaria and started preaching, and all other disciples then scattered because of the fear of Paul. The words was given that you should be my witnesses around the world. And this verse, chapter 13, verse 10, also said the gospel must be preached all over the nations. They were not doing that fast, but when Saul was persecuting, then by the grace of God, they start preaching the gospel. And then Paul was called, and he started going to the heathen nations, and the gospel was preached. And the word of God says in Book of Acts, we learned, people start saying to Paul and Silas and Paul or Barnabas, these people are coming here, these people made world upside down. That means this much the gospel was preached and everyone knew who Jesus Christ was in that particular world. But now the world is expanding, people are getting houses in every corner of the world, and the languages are multiplied. People still make their own dialogue on more languages. Hundreds and thousands of languages are there, and the Bible is printed in many, many languages. Still there are people sitting in some corner of the world and they don't have a Bible in their own language, and still people are working and making the Bible in their languages. So this word is saying gospel must first preach. So it didn't say if you can, preach, if you don't, must. So each and every person should know this is the command. And the people don't take literally. Many people think, oh, it's not my job. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a paid servant. I'm not going to do it. Let the pastor do pastor job. It's not a pastor job. Each and every believer who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is their duty to tell others what Jesus Christ is all about to them. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 13, verse 11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
Okay, this is a very, very comforting word. Sometimes you go to court. Sometimes people unexpectedly ask you questions. Sometimes they will drag you to somewhere. You don't have to be afraid. God will give you grace. If somebody is asking us about Bible or about Jesus and about your salvation, we don't have to worry. Jesus Christ will give you the grace.
Right?
If somebody is asking us
about the Bible
or about Jesus and about your salvation,
you a question, we don't have to worry.
You didn't memorize.
Jesus Christ will give the
will come to your mind.
Will give you grace.
And you say, wow,
if somebody is asking
this for a long time ago,
about Bible or about Jesus and about your salvation,
so the word of God says,
we don't have to worry.
The scriptures,
Jesus Christ will give the.
We depend on the Holy Spirit, depend on God as we study the word. If you reading the Bible, studying the word, and then it is not difficult for us what to preach. There was a one preacher with me, and each time he would say, Brother Peter, I don't have a message. Could you give the message today? And I was young, so I said, oh, sure, I will give the message. When I give the message in half an hour or so, he will then pull my shirt and he said, now stop it, I got the message. And then when I preach half a sermon, then he will expand on that subject and finish. So he was doing every Sunday. And when I said, why you don't get the message? He said, well, I don't read the Bible as much as you read. And so he gave me a chance to go and start Bible studies and different churches. I used to go. God gave me grace to, within a 1 week, have 4 meetings. And one meeting, we have some open meetings and this and that. God gave me grace to study the word. And that's why I told people many, many times, you woke me up from the sleep and say, today I have to go a certain place and preach. I would never say, why didn't you give me notice? Why didn't you tell me earlier? The Bible says, be ready, season, out of season, and every time. Every time we should be ready, and we should not be afraid what to preach, because we are depending on Holy Spirit. Okay, Mark 13, verse 12.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now see, when somebody reads these two scriptures, they might be thinking, hey, why we need this Christianity? If I become a Christian, or if I follow Christ, my brother will hate me, my father or my mother will kill me. I don't want this kind of religion. And he says, for my name's sake, everybody will be hating you around the world. But he says, endure unto the end. Now, this gives a very good example to the people who believe in eternal security, or once you saved, saved forever. Here he says, you cannot say, I got saved, and now I'm not doing anything, and I'm just hiding for myself, and I don't preach, I don't testify, I don't tell anybody I'm Christian. That's not a Christianity. He says, endure unto the end. Means we have to keep on doing what we're doing until the end of our life or until Jesus Christ comes. We just heard the other day, one girl became a Christian and her own parents wants to kill her. And there are so many people are killing their sons and daughters because they believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Even the Sadhu Sundar Singh, when this Punjabi man became a Christian, and they give him poison and his friend died and he didn't die. So they came to know, he came to know that my parents gave me poison. But thank God this man was a good believer and he suffered a lot for Christ's sake and whole family got saved. And so this is Christianity. Once you know we are living for Christ and when we die we go to heaven, we don't have to kill somebody to get 70 virgins in heaven or something like that. That's not a God's purpose. We testify, we live for Christ, and if you die for Christ, we are going to make it to heaven. So the fear of death should be taken away. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. Once we're serving the Lord, and when we fill with the Holy Spirit, we are completely sold out to Jesus Christ, the fear doesn't come. I'm telling from my own experience. The places I went to India, now if I say, people don't believe, and they will say, you're foolish to do this. But I was inspired by the Spirit of God to go to Muslim mosque and preach, going to Hindu temple and preach, going to Hindu convention, and all the Hindu people are standing there and go and preach. And now it looks like impossible, but I did it without a fear. I had not slight fear that somebody will kill me. And then not only that, some places they told me, don't go to this town because they kill all the pastors and Europeans and Americans. But I went to those places too.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.